SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour three on this Tuesday, and because I was not on with you live yesterday, plenty of recapping yet to do from the weekend, including Saturday's big Woodbine Mile Day action. And first and foremost, when Kevin Attard joins us, as a public service, I think I last did this with Sid. It's always important, Kevin, not just to congratulate you, but give everybody out there in North America that follows racing, they all want to know the Attard flow chart. And so lay out the whole family so that everybody categorically understands who's who.
That's a big family tree. we're a big racing family here in Canada. Sid is my uncle. My father, Tino, also trained here at Woodbine. I guess Joe was the pioneer that originally immigrated from Malta. He was one of the first to train and passed away many years ago now. And he's got three of his children that are also involved in racing. His son, Steve, is a trainer. And his daughter, Josie, is married to Mike DiPaolo, who trains. She's the assistant, kind of his right-hand woman, I guess you could say, in the barn as well. And there's Joe's other daughter, Michelle. She's married to an Armada. His name, Ross Armada Jr., who also is a trainer at Woodbine, and she works alongside Mike and Josie in the barns. And obviously Larry. I forgot about him. He was a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
That's right. He's got his trainer's license now as well.
What about Jamie?
Jamie, that's true. There you go. See? Jamie, yeah, he's out there. And Paul, who trained a bit in that. And he's now doing some dentistry work back here. So we're I guess, diversing too now from training to doing other things as well.
Well, what you did cleverly and what you've accomplished with your dad with Starship Jubilee is astounding. And in fact, Andy Serling was just on with us, Kevin, and I said that you were next, and he gushed. He said, "Oh my God!" He said, "What they've done with this horse is really a tremendous accomplishment." I mean, starting with claiming from George Navarro, who a lot of people are afraid to claim from, and yet. Look at what has been done, and you know, even though she was a multiple graded Grade Two winner already, this is her best performance.
Yeah, no doubt. There was it was a fantastic race she laid down, and I guess maybe me being from Canada, I was a little naive off of claiming off of Navarro, but you know, I mean, he only had her for a month to boot. He had just recently claimed her, kind of ran her back for the same price. You know what I mean? So it was. You know, she the filly looked like, in my opinion, I thought she looked like she wanted to stretch out. They had just kind of ran her 7/8, and Navarro had 7.5, I should say, and Navarro entered her back in a 7.5 race. And I mean, she probably should have won the day he ran her, but she had a bad break at the gate, got hit in the face down the lane with a stick, and still run on second and just got beat as well. So, the rest has been history. But she's been a wonderful horse. Obviously exceeded expectations. We could never have imagined she turned out to be the horse she is today, but we're not complaining, that's for sure.
When you mentioned that you thought that she was a horse that could go a route aground, what is it about her? I mean, and did you watch her, you know, before that race? Obviously, you need to have seen them run. What was it physically about her that appealed, you know, for people that want to understand how you pick out a horse that you're going to do something different with?
Yeah, we're obviously at Gulfstream for a short time and looking to kind of come back up north with some fresh faces. And I was looking for horses to kind of bring back to Woodbine that had a fitness edge, and would kind of fit into running on the synthetic. And obviously, we have a great turf course here as well, right? It's tough to claim at Gulfstream. There's multiple claims. You're shaking all the time. So we had gone in for numerous horses and kind of getting out shook or just kind of not liking what we saw prior to dropping the slip and then just kind of ripping them up. She in particular, her form was solid. She had broke her maiden, I think it was in her second start, had run like a 71 buyer that day, closed well. If you look back at her replays, I thought she always was closing, just kind of looked like maybe she wanted a little bit more ground. And at that point, we're looking to maybe, she was a Florida bred. She had kind of broke her condition. So at that point, you're looking maybe she can compete in any other than Florida bred race. And if not that, maybe even a small little starter and kind of bring her up north and see where we belong, right? But she just kind of went on a good roll. She got really good. And when we came to Canada, we were at the stage where, well, where do we run her now? She's running so well on the turf, you don't want to take her off the turf. And the Nassau was coming up, and I said to my partner at the time there, Soli, I said, let's nominate. We'll see how it looks, and we'll give her a try and see where she belongs. And sure enough, she come and win that day.
It's unbelievable. I mean, she's by Indy Wind, the minor AP Indy Sun, and out of a Forest Wildcat mare, and to have her start winning at a mile and an eighth and compete at a mile and a quarter is really, a testimony. Three grade two wins, and then on Saturday, it seemed, you had the two Chad Browns, and in terms of an approach, what did you expect from pace and, mile and an eighth and just a fairly short field? What was the conversation with Louie?
Well, she had worked the week before, and I've been stressing to my exercise rider that we need to kind of try to slow her down early and let her finish up. So actually 2 weeks before she had run, she had worked a half and I think on the turf and 50 and change, but the rider went a little too slow. His first eighth of a mile was in 14, and obviously she came home running quick. The following week, I said, "Listen, we can't go into the first eighth in 14. We've got to kind of, let her run into the pole a little harder." And so he did, and she worked in 47 and change, but she came home flying. Like it was a great work. She finished up strong, galloped out well, and in the paddock, I told Louie, I said, going into the race, I'm hoping that we maybe run third. She's in the sale in Keeneland in November, and I thought, if we can get a little bit more block type to her, it will help her in the sale a little bit. So my way of thinking going into the race was, let's take back and make one run. I think if you can get her to relax early, she'll come running down the lane at the end. And he gave her a great ride. She relaxed well for him, and I was surprised she won so easily. I knew she was coming up to a good race, but did I think she was going to run like that? No.
Well, and you mentioned the great ride. Contreras had himself some afternoon because later the ride he put on Johnny Bear for Ashley Burness was unbelievable, and this you could see how excited he was. The way she drew off on this field is what was amazing, and I'm sure you saw the figure by now. A career best by 15-20 points, a 104. Yeah. This was nuts.
Yeah. Definitely, and racing's about and kind of karma getting in a groove, and a jock gets hot one day and it just seems everything kind of goes his way. And same thing with trainers. They get in a little bit of a little role. And, obviously it was Louie's day, and we were glad to have Louie on her. And, what can I say? It was a great performance, and she's come out of the race well, and we're looking forward to seeing where she runs next.
Well, and I got to ask. I'm not going to bust on De Silva and his agent, but he ended up on Halle Bell, and he has ridden Starship, pretty regularly. Was that their call, or did it was their call?
We were on the fence of running in the Canadian. You know what I mean? I had nominated her to a race at Laurel as well, and for that same weekend. And I was trying to shop around for the easiest race possible for her, obviously. And when with the weather and Laurel and them canceling, obviously, that weekend of turf racing, and her working so well that the Sunday prior to, by the time I had told the Rico's agent that we were running in the race, he had said he had given a call away already. So, Louis didn't get the call until entry day, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, like who was going to ride her at that point. And we decided on going with Louis, and he had rode her once last year against the boys. So it all worked out well.
Unbelievable. Well, it's a great story, and it really part of a, for you, Kevin, it's been really a fun couple of years with a pair of either sex that have been multiple stake winners, and you've had a good extended run with Melnick, the Ontario bred, for Andy Stronach, and I've been a fan, and we've never had a chance to talk about him, but what a nice career. He's winless this year, but he's got 4 seconds, and he's made himself $1 million.
Yeah, he's been a wonderful horse, actually. We were fortunate enough with him to win, I think, a three-way $20,000 shake, and for Corey Hoffman and Stephen Chesney, and he just really blossomed into a great two-turn horse. Anywhere from a mile and 16th to a mile and three-quarters, he's won for us. This year, he's been hindered a lot this year, actually, by kind of slow paces. And we're looking forward to him running this Sunday. And I think he's coming up to the race in great shape, and I think he's got a good performance under his belt.
Well, this story from Saturday to win a race like the Canadian and add to her already impressive array, and that is interesting that she's headed for the sale at the end of the year. So multiple graded stake winner, Starship Jubilee. What are you shopping for? You got, hard not to at least think about. Two more starts before the sale?
Yeah, maybe one. I think in the back of my head right now, I'm only thinking one, to be quite honest with you. I think she likes to kind of run fresh. I think that helps her as well. I don't want to get too greedy to boot, right? So, obviously we will nominate for the E.P. Taylor here going a mile and a quarter. And I'm going to look around to see maybe out of town or there's something else that might look a little bit more entertaining, and we'll see how she kind of comes out of this race and leads up to her next race.
Outstanding. Wow, it's a wonderful story, and of course you being a partner, you mentioned your partner Soli Mehta, and what a treat to land a horse like this and have her just get better and better, and here she is as a full 5-year-old mare with a career best performance up at Woodbine, where she's now 4-for-8.
She's brought us a lot of joy. She was voted champion female turf horse last year, and I think that win on Saturday kind of puts her in the forefront maybe for champion female turf horse in Canada again this year. It's just when you have a horse that kind of tries each and every time, it's hard to be disappointed in them, even when they don't win. So,
well, and speaking of not necessarily a win, but not a bad effort from Sociologist, who tried that good group on Sunday in the Natalma.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a jump up in class for her, no doubt about her being a maiden. She kind of lost touch early in the race. I was kind of taken back by that a little bit, but she closed ground and only beat half the field. Wasn't disgraced. I think she's going to be a nice horse down the road, probably be a better three-year-old. And obviously she's a Canadian bred, so that's kind of exciting for us up here. And she kind of turns out to the horse that we think she will be.
What's next for Azula's Arch coming out of the La Lorgnette last week?
Yeah, we're probably going to go back into like a two-other than allowance with her next, kind of get her confidence back. She's had two kind of tough races now back-to-back. We took her to Chicago. I didn't think she really handled the turf course there that day. And last time, she was kind of, I think she was a little bit further back than she should have been and with a slow pace. So, you know what I mean, try to find a little bit of an easier spot, get her confidence back, and I think she's another horse that, with another year under her belt, should be a nice filly to have next year around the barn as a four-year-old.
And I'm curious, tough read with those specialty stakes at Woodbine at the end of August, but what kind of horse is Blessed Too?
Yeah, he ran an exciting race. He closed a lot of ground. I mean, it was a slowly run race, but the track was really dead that day. We've always liked him. He's always shown a little bit of talent, and we're shooting for a race actually this Sunday as well with him in the Bull Page, and he had a good half mile work on Sunday, and we're excited about his future. He's obviously a Canadian bred as well, and we're cutting back in distance, which, you know what I mean, it's not ideal probably, but it is a restricted race against Ontario sired horses, so the company, it's the right kind of race, but hopefully the race shapes up with a lot of speed, and we will hopefully run them down late.
He was an interesting winner that day, and I guess until you put a little more experience into him, a little more age, we won't really know how he mixes up. But I I'm just trying to pull up a figure too on him. He got a very modest.
His
40
numbers were low.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I it's tough. You know, they're young horses here. I think at Woodbine, they generally don't run kind of high numbers, it doesn't seem, he was only a second start. I think there's a lot of room for improvement in him, and hopefully he continues to get better and move in the right direction.
Well, you've certainly have a terrific, terrific history moving horses in the right direction, and this storyline with Starship Jubilee, a fabulous effort and career best performance, and at least one more start under your care before she goes through the ring, and she'll be looked at as a racing prospect as much as a broodmare prospect.
Definitely, yeah, she'll be selling as a racing broodmare prospect. There's no reason, she's eligible for the claiming crown again this year at Gulfstream. Obviously the Sunshine Millions, filly mare race that she won last year, she could run back in there too. So I think she's there's still a lot of racing left in her if somebody wanted to use that approach. So she's been a sound horse for us, her days of going to the broodmare shed aren't quite there yet, I don't think.
Well, and she's a funny, and this is an interesting story because from a pedigree standpoint, there's not anything there. I mean, she's making her own value on the racetrack. And it's kind of a weird, what kind of a reserve would you put on a horse like this?
It's tough to say. We're not going to give her away, that's for sure. I think, she's worth some kind of money, obviously. We'll obviously talk with the consigner as we get closer and decide on a reserve. And if we achieve it, that's fine. If not, we'll be gladly, able to take her back home and continue running her. So, it's, you know, I mean, I think it's a win-win situation in that sense. So if, I mean, it depends on, I guess, what the market kind of dictates for her. You know, she does have a half-sister that ran second in one of those Florida Stallion Stakes this year, not long ago. So there's a little bit active pedigree in and underneath the first dam. So hopefully that two-year-old continues to improve and do well. And you know, I mean, Jubilee also. So.
Well, in the meantime, you get to enjoy the full effect of winning the Canadian. And, Kevin, a real pleasure. Continued success, and hope to talk soon.
Likewise. Thank you very much for having me on the show today.
Not at all. Kevin Attard, everybody. And you also got a primer on the whole family. And his dad, Tino, and his uncle, Sid, and all of them. And I had forgotten that... that Josie was married to Mike. Mike DiPaolo has said that on the, has mentioned the Attard family connection with Josie. That's funny. They do a great job. I didn't know they were from Malta. That's cool. That's Canada, though. That's Canada. You go up to Canada, I have 10 years in Montreal, and you, people from everywhere. I mean, it's of course, we call ourselves, you know, a melting pot. Canada's got the multicultural concept, slightly different, but that's interesting through Malta. Let's head toward the break, and I apologize to Ashley Burness. We'll get to Ashley tomorrow, and we just had too much to do today. And Dick Powell tomorrow, too. And considering that Dick's going to be on, I probably will reach out for Hugh Robertson, Hotshot Anna. Nice winner, of course, of the Masters. And how about, by the way, and while we're on the Canadian topic, another Canadian invader won on Sunday, the Presque Isle Mile as well. Norm McKnight came down with decorated soldier, and he's been a mercenary, literally decorated soldier. Willie Martinez aboard, my man. Willie Martinez, I love Willie. He won the Presque Isle, and Amy Farrah Fowler for Ron Potts won the Mrs. Paxson as well. So we'll talk all the Presque stuff with Dick tomorrow. And Ashley Burness as well to talk Johnny Bear and Sid Fernando. But speaking of Sid, on the breeding front and the sale front, Keeneland, the topic next. Jesse Ullery joins us from Keeneland Sales. Talk about what has been an astounding seven sessions and another six to come. And now it's all gravy. With the sale having already surpassed last year's total. Jesse Ullery joins us next, and we'll close things out with Maggie Kimmett to talk about the Real Ryder Cup, the off-the-track thoroughbreds, this weekend. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's
going
on?
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our
two. And I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Know the first thing about Jesse Ullery, if you follow Keeneland, he does paddock analysis, and you certainly hear him up on the stage as one of the chanters, one of the sales announcers, and lots of action these first seven sessions. Just an unbelievable Keeneland sale in progress, and at about exactly the halfway point of the sale, the 2018 September edition surpasses 2017's. It's all gravy now, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve, and thanks for having me on. Long-time listener, first-time caller, as they say, so it's great to join you today.
I'm thrilled to have you on, and this has really been an exciting week plus. Second half of Book 3 today, and one of the things I'm struck with is how some of the biggest buyers from books one and two, they're still in there pitching and bringing home and filling up the coffers. It's unbelievable. There's a real scramble for horse flesh.
You know, and that's a great observation, and we're seeing it as well. We've actually seen it probably the past couple of years, and just the quality athletes that the breeders are bringing to the sales and what the consigners are doing prepping them, we could not do it without their support, and we couldn't obviously do it without the buyers either. So I think the desire to own racehorses, I think with the recent successes of even dating back to American Pharoah and now Justify this year, who was a Triple Crown winner and a Keeneland sales graduate as well, just speaks to the vibrancy of the marketplace, and it speaks to the excitement that is going on in horse racing right now. I think, you know, thanks to the likes of your radio show and so many other media outlets, there's just more exposure to horse racing and more people want to be involved, and it's a great time, and we're excited about it, and it's just a great year this year. As I mentioned, a lot of breeders had really great years, and we're so thankful for them and happy that they're having a great year, and grateful for the opportunity to be able to offer their quality product.
How much through this portion, how much credit is the the adjustment of the calendar or the cataloging, how much credit should that be given? Because it does feel like, and we understand the experimentation, but it does feel like having the four book one sessions was really a stroke, as opposed to the little attempt last year to have the elite select first day and then three sessions of a book two. This feels like an adjustment that really paid off.
I think it did this year, and while format may have played a part in it, I mean, book one was obviously incredibly successful. We were up 10% if you look day to day, and so similar formats, and then we had 4 days of selling before we had the traditional dark day. So even though it was formatted a little bit different with 4 days of book one this year as opposed to a 1 day book one and 3 days of book two last year, sort of similar when you get to that point, it was up 10%. So I do think that the number of quality offerings in that book one was really elevated this year. And it's really indicative of the marketplace, Steve. I mean, it's something, you know, we do change format and we kind of tweak it every year, but that's to serve the marketplace and that's to serve our customers, and our customers, you know, needed this format this year, and we felt like the buyers were going to respond to it, and we were fortunate enough that we were able to get that accomplished. So I think it's everybody working together as a team, and we take great strengths and great efforts to work with our consigners and work with buyers as well during the recruiting process, and it paid off this year, and we're thrilled for both buyers and sellers because we feel like the buyers got quality product and the sellers were able to present it in the best light possible.
You mentioned the buyers, and right at the head of everything going back to last week and virtually every sales analyst that we had visit, we were all focused to some degree on Sheikh Mohammed's visit and Godolphin and Coolmore mixing it up right from day one that provided lots of fireworks. Shadwell and Godolphin combining for 42 horses to this point for over $31 million, but lots of interesting players dot the scorecard, Jesse, and I mentioned this morning the SF Bloodstock Starlight West, their presence and the fact that they are the third leading buyer through yesterday, I thought is a major story. $9 million, 18 head, and I'm looking forward to talking to Jack Wolf and understanding what SF and Starlight are going to be doing. Whether Starlight is handling the long term interests and the, you know, the Bloodstock career side, you know, which is what the relationship involved the pair when it came to Justify. I think it's one of the really intriguing stories that's come out of the first week of the sale.
And there's a number of them, and you're exactly right about SF and Starlight West teaming up with the amount of horses they've bought, and as you mentioned, 18 horses nearing $8 million. And of course, it's always a thrill and always very humbling, and we're so honored to have Sheikh Mohammed on the sales grounds here, as he was for most of book one, and of course Sheikh Hamdan as well. It's really an honor, but I think again it speaks to the quality offerings that the consigners and the sellers of those horses bring here, and so really it's a credit to them, and we're honored just to be there to be able to serve both of those. But you're right, there's a number of people who have really stepped up to the plate this year. In fact, we've had 19 buyers spend $3 million or more to this point, and I think we're getting very close to 60 in that range that have spent $2 million or more. So there's a lot of people out there who are spreading the money around, and they're finding a lot of quality no matter what level they're buying at and no matter how many horses they're buying at within that $2 or $3 million spent. There's just a ton of really, really nice horses out here and just a lot of quality offerings, and the depth of quality is something that you get here at Keeneland September. But it has been very interesting, as you say, to look at the buyer result sheets. But I think that also speaks to the strength in the marketplace as well.
The strength of the stallion roster, a big part of any sale conversation. And when the yearlings start to come out, starting in July at Fasig and then at Saratoga as well, we all knew that American Pharoah was going to be one of the engines on the train. To this extent, and so far, 46 have sold through yesterday. There were 81 cataloged. I'm not sure how many outs there were total, but the point is American Pharoah continuing virtually every day helping the bottom lines. Now we're also getting into the rest of the first crop stallions, and that's worth watching. Carpe Diem, Commissioner, Constitution, Daredevil, Honor Code, Liam's Map, Mr. Speaker, Tonalist. Those were the, you know, the eight beyond American Pharoah that we were kind of watching. Secret Circle. We had the conversation with John Secura the other day, and the first crop portion of the book is now, and we'll see part two today, and then I would think the next 2 days, book four. These are horses that could raise averages, and as we said, it's all gravy. I mean, considering that yesterday you surpassed the 2017 total.
That was a really great moment for us. I mean, to have $326 million in sale with six sessions remaining, as you mentioned, going past the 2017 mark. But at, you know, talking about the sires, I mean, that was really, really great to see such a wide group of sires be reflected at the top end of the market. We had 27 horses go over $1 million. That's the most we've had since, I believe, 2007 or 2008, somewhere in there at the Keeneland September sale. And we had 11 different sires that were represented in those 27 horses. So I think that's just a really, really great, it's healthy for the marketplace when you have the diversity of sires that we have. And then, as you mentioned, you look at the top 20 sires so far by gross, and I think you have five freshman sires on that list, of course led by American Pharoah, but we've seen some really nice horses by Honor Code come through, and Liam's Map is in that group, as well as Carpe Diem. So it's really, really fun to see those freshman sires have an immediate impact like they have, much like we saw with Cairo Prince last year.
Well, the sale continues, and they're underway today, obviously, and we hope that you know, the middle market, you got to expect, is going to be very strong just by virtue of the pushing down and I think the scarcity factor. So it looks like this is going to be a banner session, and straight through to the weekend, through Sunday. We'll keep watching, and I'm not going to let you go without looking forward to the racing action and Fall Stars weekend, just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, it's hard to, it's sort of an immediate transition for me with having to switch from my responsibilities up on the auction stand, and also with client development here as well. But we're looking forward to a fantastic race meet. I mean, we've seen some really great two-year-old performances already, so that Fall Stars weekend with the Claiborne Breeders Futurity and the Darley Alcibiades is always really fun to see, and see those two-year-olds develop. And with the Breeders' Cup being at Churchill Downs this year, just a few miles down the road, it should be really, really exciting to see those horses perform here and see what they can go on and do with the Breeders' Cup, but also the other races like the Shanwell Turf Mile, the First Lady. Looks like we're going to have some pretty quality runners in that as well. So with all the Win and You're In races we have, and of course the Indian Summer, which is a new stakes race this year for the newly developed Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint Race, that should be very exciting as well. Of course, you'd have to expect Wesley Ward would have something for that. But it's shaping up to be an exciting race meet. The fall is a lovely time to be in Lexington, Kentucky, and it's situated perfectly between two premier sales, and we're really, really looking forward to continuing the fall here.
Well, and of course, the contest as well. Jim Goodman will welcome the players. It should be another terrific Keeneland meet. And Jesse, I've a maiden breaker, and look forward to having you on again soon. I appreciate the visit.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Jesse Ulrey, and you can follow Jess on Twitter. And you see him as one of the paddock analysts, and a pleasure to get him on today and have him visit. And if you want to follow him, J.J. Ulrey, U-L-L-E-R-Y, if you weren't following already. Let's take a break, our last of the morning, and Maggie Kimmett is going to join us. And you all know Maggie and the Herring Swell team, of course, but Anita Motion and Maggie are the organizing co-chairs of the Real Ryder Cup. It's Sunday, in Unionville at the horse trials at Plantation Field. She's going to tell you what's going on and how you can attend and what it's all about. Next, OTTBs, off-the-track thoroughbreds. We love them. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Daytime Southern California thoroughbred racing action continues in beautiful Orange County through Sunday, September 23rd, with the LA County Fair Thoroughbred Meet at Los Alamitos Racecourse with a new first post time. The exciting daytime racing action will now start at 2 p.m. Pacific every Thursday through Sunday. The meet is highlighted by three $100,000 stakes races, the Barrett's Juvenile, Barrett's Debutante, and the brand new Los Alamitos Special at 1¼ miles. And we've also added a second Pick 5 wager featuring the final five races on the card. Plus, horse players, don't forget that Los Alamitos will host a pair of live money daytime handicapping contests on Saturday, September 15th, and then again on Saturday, September 22nd. You could win a seat to the 2019 NHC in Las Vegas. Join us on track or at your favorite satellite or ADW provider through September 23rd. For more, go to losalamitos.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of
will approach us this year wanting to take part in it, and we're pretty excited about the group that we've assembled for it for Sunday.
Well, and tell everybody who's involved, because it is. It's a, you put together a who's who lineup.
We kind of did, yeah. We have four groups: trainers, owners, exercise riders, and media analysts, racing commentators. And among the trainers, we have Tom Morley, Lacey Gaudette, Jack Fisher, and Jenna Antonucci. And then our media analysts, we've got Maggie Morley. Maggie and Tom have promised us a very spirited competition between the two of them. Gabby Gaudette, who will be competing against her sister Lacey, so that's another cool aspect. Tim Tulloch from Maryland Racing.
Sure.
And then Penelope Miller. And our exercise riders, we have Sharon Dominguez back in the saddle. Sharon spent some time this summer at Saratoga getting on our pony and driving a few of our horses for us at Herringswell. Lorna Chavez, whom most people would recognize if you're ever out in the mornings or in the afternoons. Lorna wears the black helmet cover with the pink bunny and the little fuzzy pom-pom on the top. And Lorna is extremely accomplished. She was one of the first national hunt riders in England. Jody Murphy from Maryland Jockey Club is a Unionville native and has been competing for a long time. Used to get on Include for Buddy Delp. And then Patty Young is actually going to ride. We were approached by his wife, Leslie, who told us how excited Patty was to be part of it. So it's going to be great fun to have Patty back in the saddle. And then the owners group, we have Mike Ballas, who is the son and grandson of the Samsung farm owners. And Mike's very accomplished in show jumping. Clifford Barry will represent Pin Oak Stud and Mrs. Abercrombie Silks. Megan Jones from Arnmore Thoroughbreds. And then Caitlin Jackson, who is being sponsored by Saul Kuhman and Mattaquette Stables.
Ah, tremendous. And this is at Plantation Field, the horse trial grounds. Where is it for people to attend if they're within distance?
It's in Unionville. If you go on PlantationFieldInternational.com, everything you could possibly want to know about the event is on there, including directions, GPS address, and so forth. And also, on their homepage, if you scroll all the way to the right, you will see a link for the Real Rider Cup. If you click on that, it'll take you to the page explaining exactly what we're doing, what the event's about, and there will be links for each rider. And also, you can donate to support whomever you'd like. There's a PayPal link for that as well, which we're certainly encouraging people to do. And as of this point, I believe we're well over $30,000 that we've raised so far.
Explain for everybody, and we've had so many conversations, Maggie, a lot with Stuart from the start, and the opportunity to to take off the track thoroughbreds and compete with them and retrain them. Explain where you're sourcing horses.
Well, we sort of, I don't know if you might know the background between the Motions and Philip Dutton, which goes back several years, and probably the name that's most recognizable in that effort would be Ichabod Crane. When Ichabod retired, Earl Mack sold him to Anita for a dollar, and it was always, we always sort of realized that Ichabod was going to stay with us much the way Better Talk Now did. And they just kind of thought, well, this would be great for Ichabod. And he took to it like a duck to water. He's been such an ambassador for OTTBs, really, and bridging that gap between racing and eventing. And certainly with Philip, you can't have better connections than Philip Dutton and Evie Dutton and their team over there at True Prospects Farm. So he's really kind of been he's paved the way for us. As far as the horses go, quite a few of them are, we have four who are returning this year. We've got Harmony Bay, Warfleet, Santa's Playboy, and some folks would know our last one, which is Ain't Too Fast to Catch. So we've got one who earned absolutely nothing on the racetrack, and then you have Ain't Too Fast to Catch, who's a millionaire. And this year we've really been kind of surprised, I think, pleasantly by folks who have come to us and said, I've got a great prospect for you. I've got somebody that I'd love to see. If y'all need him, I'd love to see you use this horse. Maggie Morley's bringing her own horse. She's bringing down Jaeger, whom you've seen all summer at Saratoga. And in some cases, we did provide a mount for the riders, and we've screened it pretty well to match them up and make sure everybody's gonna be on a fairly even playing field. But really, this year, people have kind of come out of the woodwork with a horse who would be suitable, and they'd love to see him take part. So we've been pretty fortunate.
Do you have with the growth and with the obvious interest and the momentum you've created in just these two seasons, mm-hmm. where do you see this going? And can it be expanded regionally and other parts of the country? The kinds of things we've seen happen with the makeover.
I would think that's always a possibility. You know, things kind of grow legs and take off, and the growth just in the year with this is noticeable. And I would imagine that we'll take it as far as we can to the extent that we all can within our community. This has worked out very well for us because it is local. Mike Ballas, for instance, is coming down from Canada. So we've had people travel to it. Last year, our MC was Zoe Cadman, who flew in from California. This year, we've got Joe Clancy doing it. So, I would think that it's always open to discussion as to how it can grow and where it can possibly go. Like I said, if it snowballs like it did this year, it seems like the sky's the limit, and we'll have to sit down and brainstorm about what to do with it next. But just in the one year, it's kind of remarkable the enthusiasm that it's generated.
Well, we're going to send everybody to the various resource options, and that includes on Twitter, The Real Ryder Cup, Ryder with the I. Yes. Then there's the link from there to the Facebook page and The Real Ryder Cup fan group, very active. And then, as you mentioned, you can go to PlantationFieldInternational.com. There's the drop down and right up the Schuylkill and just past Pottstown, Unionville, and out in the country on Sunday. And if those of you that, I mean, I'll be at the Eagle game. Otherwise, I'd have come. But we'll be
over
at the lake
during halftime.
Well, it actually is a good tie-in with everything going on at the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion on Saturday.
It is, yeah. It makes it pretty convenient for folks who are coming down for the weekend. And then also right here at Fair Hill is the Fair Hill Thoroughbred Show going on Saturday and Sunday. So busy weekend in our neck of the woods.
Well, congratulations to you and Anita and everybody involved. The Real Ryder Cup Year 2 Sunday at Unionville, at Plantation Field, at the horse trials. And Maggie, whatever we can do to spread the word, happy to help, and well done.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Steve.
Not at all. Maggie Kimmett, everybody, Herring Swell, the Motion team, Anita and Graham, and another burgeoning off-the-track thoroughbred project, The Real Ryder Cup. Really fun, and it's great to see Patty Young in the saddle. Very, very cool. It is Tuesday. There's racing around, so take part, and we're back tomorrow. Lots more to do. I already told you Sid Fernando, and we'll connect with Dick Powell. We'll catch up with Dick and Ashley Burness as well, Johnny Bear, and much more. Want to thank Brian Lynch and Tom Amos, Andy Serling, Kevin Attard, Jesse Ulrey, and Maggie Kimmett. Good day, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Daytime Southern California thoroughbred racing action continues in beautiful Orange County through Sunday, September 23rd, with the LA County Fair Thoroughbred Meet at Los Alamitos Racecourse with a new first post time. The exciting daytime racing action will now start at 2 p.m. Pacific every Thursday through Sunday. The meet is highlighted by three $100,000 stakes races, the Barrett's Juvenile, Barrett's Debutante, and the brand new Los Alamitos Special at 1.25 miles. And we've also added a second Pick 5 wager featuring the final five races on the card. Plus, horse players, don't forget that Los Alamitos will host a pair of live money daytime handicapping contests on Saturday, September 15th, and then again on Saturday, September 22nd. You could win a seat to the 2019 NHC in Las Vegas. Join us on track or at your favorite satellite or ADW provider through September 23rd. For more, go to losalamitos.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business...